Welcome to this episode of the Heartbeat for Hire podcast. I feature Olympians, CEOs, disruptors, authors, professional athletes, and the best of the best, where they share their stories of resilience with my lens on leadership and culture. Let's get started. Greetings and welcome to this episode of Heartbeat for Hire. I always say the podcast is only as good as its guests. And today I get to bring you an old friend. So my old friend, Sandy Golgart, embraces the philosophy that clarity is the ultimate superpower. Don't you love that? With nearly three decades of executive growth experience, Sandy brings a unique blend of empathy, insight, and practical wisdom to his work. He launched Segway Growth Consulting and Life Peels, two ventures dedicated to helping individuals and organizations unlock their full potential. Through leadership coaching, business consulting, and the transformative resources offered by Life Peels, Sandy empowers others to navigate their personal and professional journeys with clarity and purpose. He's also recognized as winning the National High School Slam Dunk Championship. He was a men's high school basketball national champion and held the state record for clearing 7 feet and 1/4 inch on the high jump. Sandy suffered a serious health scare back in 2020, which we are going to talk about, which led him to finding his purpose. Today, he stands as a beacon of inspiration for those seeking to transcend their limitations and live life on their own terms. Welcome to the show, Sandy.
Thank you so much, Lindsay. That was a great introduction.
I mean,
I don't know how I'm going to live up to all that, but.
Well, you did it all, so you don't have to live up to it. No, it's really, really great to have you on the show. And for those that don't know, we both went to University of Colorado at Boulder. That's how I know him. So it's been a whole lot of years since we've been connected, and it's been so much fun to reconnect recently. So let's just start. The first question I always start with is, can you please tell us your story?
Yeah. So, you know, I think when I think about my story, I go back to my childhood, where I developed this dream. I think a lot of kids have this, where I wanted to fly. You know, I would have dreams and I had this thought that it would be so cool to be able to launch into the air and fly. And one day, as a kid, I was sitting there watching, you know, I fell in love with Dr. J and Michael Jordan. And I heard Michael Jordan say, "I can fly. It's only for a few seconds, but I could fly." And something there clicked with me that said, that's what I want to do. And I just got this purpose in this sense that that's what I wanted to do. That was sort of my big goal. And what I found through that process is the work, because I was so enamored with this idea, the work kind of became easy. I had 14 stairs in my home that went from our bottom, you know, our basement up to the main floor. And on those 14 stairs every night, I would do 1400 toe raises, always just envisioning being able to fly. And then in 1990, I was fortunate enough, as you said, to win the high school national slam dunk contest in Lubbock,
Texas.
And you
can still dunk today.
I can still do it today. I'm still in love with the process. But it was that summer, which was kind of this epic, year for me. Our high school team had traveled the country. We won the national championship. I won the national slam dunk contest. I high jumped 7 feet and 1/4 inch, won the state title. And I think it's still a 6A state record to this day. And that led me to being fortunate enough to earning a 4-year full ride scholarship to the University of Colorado. I played on the men's basketball team, started all 4 years, and then signed a deal to go down to Brazil and play professional. And also being a Colorado kid, I had this itch to always ski. So I thought, what a great time now to get back into skiing. And it was on October 16th, 1995, where we hiked up the Continental Divide and I ultimately ended up blowing my knee out. And that was the moment that basketball was now in the rearview mirror for me. Yeah. And I had to start thinking about a professional career outside of sports. And so I did what I think most people our age did at the time. I found the biggest company that was willing to pay me some money to go to work for them.
Yeah.
And then I took what I thought I had learned through my athletic journey and applied it to the business world. And what I mean by that is, what I knew is you sized up the competition, you put your head down, you outworked everybody in the room until you got ahead, until you made more money, until you got the promotion. And I did that, rinse and repeat, for almost 30 years. And then about 3 years ago, my kids had gone through college, they were off on their own, and I started to get these series of really bad migraine headaches. And through the process of elimination, my doctors, you know, evaluated everything. They said, we can't find anything, but we really need to check this last box and have you go in for a CT scan. Mm-hmm. So on my way, I really felt about 50-50. And we could get into, you know, some discussion about the universe or whatever else. But yeah. I kind of felt like this was either going to go really well or really bad. Mm-hmm. And it forced me to start thinking back on my life. If this is it, was it good enough? You know, did we do enough? And I started thinking, you know, I had done some amazing experiences. I had met some amazing people, but I felt this feeling in my gut that I had never really allowed the best version of myself to emerge. And that didn't sit that well with me. So fortunately, the diagnosis came back and everything was clean. But I still had this idea and this feeling, more than anything, that the best version of me was still yet to come. And I really had to commit to the process of letting that emerge. So I hired, you know, I was in a position where I was in the corporate world. I was in a rather toxic culture, a lot of manipulation, a lot of the things that you grow to really, you know, not like about the corporate world.
So you readily accept it because that's what it is.
You either survive or, you know, jump out. And so I took the step of saying, I'm going to hire the best life and business coach that I can find and help me through this process. So I reached out to David Meltzer,
who's been on the show.
Yeah, he's a great guy. A great guy. And I remember our very first call, because until that point, I hadn't, you know, my job and my purpose, I always felt, was to raise my kids as best I could, get them out on a great foundation, and let them explore the world. Well, they were gone. Mm-hmm. And so my purpose, I felt, was kind of lacking. And in hiring a coach, I felt this pressure that I had to come up with some very clear criteria. It was back to the athlete in me. What are my goals? What am I going to go do? What am I going to conquer? Mm-hmm. And so I came up with my list, and I was really excited to talk to Dave. And we got on the call, and I said, okay, I want to make X million of dollars. I want to do it in 10 years, and I'm ready. You know, what do I need to do? And he said, well, let's back up. If we decide, you know, to work together, the first thing I'm going to ask you to do, in fact, I'll require you to do it, is to rip up your list. Mm-hmm. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, the moment you put that stringent of a financial goal in place with a timeline, you're immediately introducing interference to it. Yeah. And it just makes it harder.
Yeah.
And that was the first time anybody had ever talked to me about the idea of you being interference to getting where you want to go. And so I immediately became very intrigued, and it just felt right to me. Mm-hmm. That what he was talking about, you know, was right for myself and my situation. He said, what we're going to focus on instead is the process. Mm-hmm. And we're going to try to double what you have as quickly as you have, as quickly as we can. And then we'll just repeat that process. But by falling in love with the process, I have no doubt you're going to achieve far more in far less time. But it's going to be because we're not going to focus on the timeline and the things that you think you want at this time.
Mm. So pause for a second, because I want to go back in the story just a smidge, because as you know, we talk a lot on the show about leadership and culture. And I want to talk about kind of what you were going through in the corporate setting, because you were an executive, you were responsible for a big budget, a lot of people. And I just want your feelings on what was wrong with that environment and what needs to be fixed, in your opinion, in the corporate world today, because you and I went through similar tracks of this is the life we understood. This is the life we lived. This is what we thought was right. And then it wasn't until you step out where you're like, holy crap, that's way messed up. And that shouldn't be like that. So I just want some of your perspective on that piece.
Yeah. So, you know, I had gone through a series, a number of different companies and experiences, and they all had different elements that were good and they all had different elements that were bad. And I found myself, especially at my last position, at the time I reached out to Dave, really focusing on, and my awareness was really high for everything that was wrong with the environment. So when I talked to Dave, you know, I talked about the culture being toxic, the leadership being highly manipulative, where they want leverage over everybody.
That's right.
And trying to manipulate results for the company, and then trying to spin it, you know, that it was good for everybody. And there was just something about all of that that felt wrong to me. And what I saw and started to pay attention to is that the types of people that would attract were people who were willing to put those things aside and trade, right? Effort, nodding along, just going with the program, telling the boss you're great, all those things just to collect the paycheck.
Yeah, it's that financial insecurity that keeps you there because you just continue to earn more, but you have to put up with more and you have to lose yourself a little more all the time. And it's unless you have really great leaders that look out for you and change the way that things are done, this is a pretty common thing.
Yeah, which I found internally for myself is really the way I was thinking, the way I was feeling, and the way that I was acting was not in accordance with my true self. And it was because of the constructs of the corporate world and the specific position that I was in.
Yeah. And
but
do you
I will
think
give,
that's what, oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I will give Dave a ton of credit for this because I wanted out.
Yeah.
I wanted to leave and I could tell you everything that was wrong with it.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm clearly, I have attracted this into my life. I'm apparently no good anymore at finding the right place for myself. So help me get out. And he said, well, I'm going to challenge you a little bit here. I would prefer to see you. If there's anything at all that you're getting from this and receiving from it, I would like to challenge the process and have you approach this differently. And I said, what do you mean? He said, why don't you lean in more to your unique gifts, your strengths, see how you can help that company that you're with as best you can. And while you're at it, we're going to raise your level of awareness to find all the light, the love, and the lessons that you're supposed to be learning. You're here for a reason. There's a lot that you can learn to take on to the next chapter. But if you miss the opportunity to learn the lessons, you're going to have to go learn them all again later.
Yeah.
So I took the next 3 years to really dive in, lean in, give it everything that I had, tap into what I knew that I was good at, what my special gifts were, hone them, really try to connect with and learn how to connect with people that quite frankly didn't want to be connected with.
So talk about that, Sandy. Like, what was their response to this change in you? And I also have a question. Do you think the environment, the toxicity, the trading your soul was what contributed to the migraines?
So no, I don't think that's what contributed to the migraines. What I have come to realize and choose to believe, I believe the universe was tapping me for a long time. And there were a lot of signs and a lot of things saying, your best version is doing something else. And it wasn't until the migraines got to the point that I had to lay in bed in a dark room with a cold cloth on my head and then go search for some answers that I started to pay attention.
Yeah.
And I think it really truly was the universe or your spirit guides or whatever,
putting you on
you know,
right,
you want
right
to call it, was saying, You need to wake up. Mm-hmm. You need to, we need you to wake up. You need to wake up for yourself and discover more of what you're here for and what you're capable of, because in this environment, doing the things the way you're doing, thinking and feeling and acting the way that you are, is not leading you to the best version of yourself. So, and I think we're all getting those subtle wake up calls all the time.
Yeah.
Whether we choose to listen to them is one thing. And usually it takes, the wake up calls have to get louder and louder and louder until many people find themselves in such a dark place that they are forced to pay attention and find a better way.
Yeah.
And I think that's why so many transformation stories start with a near-death experience or a really bad circumstance. And I think that you were getting those signs all the way leading up to that. It just, whether or not your awareness, and usually your awareness is pretty low, so you're missing them.
Yeah.
And then I think for me, that's what the migraines were. It was it went from a slight tap on the shoulder to a slap in the face.
Are you ready to elevate your leadership style and create an exceptional workplace that stands out from the crowd? I'm here to introduce you to a game-changing resource that will transform the way you lead and shape your company culture. It's time to embrace the power of top-down culture. This practical guide empowers your leadership for lasting success, helping you create a workplace where everyone thrives. Get top-down culture today, and let's reshape the future of leadership together.
I've been there and I understand. So sorry, the question I asked earlier, what was the response of everyone around you when you changed the way you were behaving?
You know, it was a wide range of responses. My boss was thrilled. He pulled me aside. You know, we had a meeting coming up about the company's growth, and I decided to lean in and give it everything I had. Mm-hmm. And I know that had I not had that conversation with Dave, I would have sat in the back, probably continued to criticize what was going on.
Yeah.
But I took a totally different approach, and he actually recognized how different the energy was. And he pulled me aside afterwards, said, you know, you think a lot different. We could really use and leverage your strengths. I earned, you know, a percentage of the company and an elevated role. And then it took a long time to reach out to each individual. Some were very ready to want to explore for themselves how to make their lives easier and achieve more. Others were very resistant. And, you know, those were some of the light, love, and lessons I had to learn, is that you have to be able to meet people where they're willing to be met. And slowly over time, dedicated myself to removing interference, helping to make people's jobs easier, provide more clarity on the what we're doing, how we do it, why we do it, and really dive in and get shoulder to shoulder with everyone and try to help them see a more clear path to success for them and for the business.
I love that. And I love that he noticed the change in you. And it's just a testament to, everybody is kind of going through the motions. And it's not until you really adjust and say, okay, no, I'm going to show up as the best version of myself, that it creates such a ripple. I mean, you and I talk about energy a lot, so we know like this feeling and that connection. I love that he saw that and gave you an opportunity that was bigger. I think the best leaders do that. And that's just gorgeous. So talk a little bit about Life Peels and Segway, and what do they do? Who are your clients?
Yeah. So I'll start with Segway Growth Consulting. So growth has been a part of my mission. Just in the path that I chose in the corporate world was always about sales first and then growth second. And in that process, I saw some amazing things unfold where we unlocked billions of dollars of growth, massive scaling, but also some experiences where no matter how hard you tried, there was too much friction, too much interference to achieve any level of scalable growth. And I really started to pay attention and start to recognize that if you haven't cleared the constraints, you haven't cleared a path to growth. Mm-hmm. And so that got me very curious about figuring out, could we develop a tool that would help companies create a statistical and mathematical advantage for their growth? And what would the four key areas of that be? And so we identified the four key areas, and you'll love the number one area. You can only grow as fast and as big as your leader's potential. So the leader owns the responsibility and the accountability and ultimately the upside. Very few people are going to outrun the leader because the leader's the one that's in charge. That makes sense, yeah. Leadership is number one. And so this tool that we created is called the Growth Readiness Map. And it's an assessment that we do. We do it what we call above the water at the iceberg, and that's the executive leadership level. Mm-hmm. And then below the water, which is much bigger, but that's where the work actually happens.
Yeah.
And that's with the teams. So through that interview process, we can identify clearly how ready you are when it comes to leadership, how ready you are when it comes to your team and the alignment with your team, with the company's goals, how systems ready you are. And systems ready really needs to be, how prepared are you to handle your best customers and service them in the most efficient way, where you're giving them more of what they want and you're taking away more of what they don't want, so their experience can be incredible. And then lastly, and this is the one that I have found to be the most important, and I'm shocked how many people don't understand this better, but how customer ready are you?
Yeah.
So what is your, who is your ICP, you know, that ideal customer profile? Who are they? What do they fear? What do they value? What do they want more of? What do they want less of from you, so that you can create the quantitative value to say, for this amount, I will unlock this much of what you want. Mm-hmm. And make sure that that is always a minimum of 5x, right? Like, you're going to pay me $20. I'm going to hand you $100.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get those four things aligned, you can achieve simple, easy growth. And that's what SEGWAY stands for. The SEG is simple, easy growth.
Love it.
Without that, you're really creating a furnace of stress and anxiety for yourself, your company, your customers, and your team.
Yeah.
And that's when everyone is just really, you know,
trudging
through.
No one can perform at their best under those circumstances. Right. And I think, you know, you and I are both deeply passionate about leadership and have seen what good leaders look like and feel like. And when you have those leaders that say, you know, I care about my people and I need to make this environment the best for you guys to excel, those are the leaders that experience the growth the fastest. And the outdated style of leadership, which was the, you know, micromanaging the ogres, the people that belittle and embarrass, that doesn't inspire anyone. It just increases the toxicity and makes the mediocrity pervasive around the organization. So it's so important to deal with that leadership piece first. I love that you do that. So talk for a moment about Life Peels.
Well, really quick on SEGWAY then, because leadership is the most important component, we also do leadership coaching and development to help people move. I believe there's two forms of leadership. There's manipulation, which is the most common, and there's inspiration.
Yeah.
And you have to have and have achieved for yourself absolute clarity on those four things that I mentioned before, so that you can lead your team with clarity. Mm-hmm. These are our best customers. Here's how we attract them. This is what we do for them. And by doing more of that, we will scale with the right customers and grow profitably and do it in an organized fashion where we can celebrate all of the wins.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably where I get the most joy, is working with leaders who want to elevate their own leadership and be who their teams need them to be.
Yeah. So here's a question before we get into Life Peels. I'm hopeful, and I'm interested in your opinion, that there is a bit of an awakening happening. And by awakening, I mean that leaders are recognizing there's a better way, and they're not entirely sure how to get there, but the conversations are bigger and a little more inspired, and there's a little more daylight in the thinking. But what are your thoughts?
I couldn't agree more. I think if leaders fail to recognize how leadership is changing, the responsibilities that fall on leadership to provide clarity, with the great resignation and people starting to stand up and with more yeah. options, you can be an entrepreneur so much more easily nowadays.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to want to work, or very few people are going to want to work in an environment that really tears apart your soul.
Agreed.
And where you're constantly sacrificing who you really are to show up to work. So if you don't adapt and you don't put in the time to strip away the interference between being the leader you could be and being one that relies on manipulation, you're going to have a very stressful existence in your leadership role moving forward. Whether you choose to do anything about it is totally up to different people. And I would say, I also believe at the same time, there really isn't anything that I would call bad or evil management. It's only what you know.
Yeah.
There are just leaders.
I agree with that.
There are just leaders who themselves have not awakened to the fact that you can really get in touch with the clarity needed to allow your people to joyfully do the work that needs to be done.
Yeah.
Because the work still needs to get done.
I think you're absolutely right on the manipulation versus inspiration. And I always say, don't be the star of someone's bad memory, be the person that makes them want to be better. And I think that's just such a smart way of looking at it. So in a very quick moment,
yes.
Give me Life Peels, talk about that. And then I have a couple more questions before we wrap up.
So Life Peels is a really exciting project. We've got some amazing partners. The gist of it is it's a SaaS-based company and service that's designed to help people identify where they want to be in life in the context for how you want to be thinking, feeling, and acting to get to where you want to ultimately be for your own life in helping other people. Then we identify and we help them identify the interference that's between their current state and where they want to be. And we serve up options for removing interference, bad habits, replacing them with good habits, new ways of thinking, new ways of feeling, and new ways of acting. And then we have the ability now to measure the progress that they've made, the levels of interference that still exist, and their trajectory. Because the most important thing in any transformation is time. Mm-hmm. And most people will severely overestimate the amount of transformation they think they can go through in 1 year, dramatically underestimate what they can accomplish in three, but because they don't hit what they think they should accomplish in year one, most people quit.
Yeah.
And so you really need to see how your trajectory is changing so that you'll stick with it and continue the simple and easy things that you need to do every day, compounding over time to make a true transformation for yourself.
I love that you're addressing a 360 degree human. And I think so often in the working world and certainly in corporate, you are your job, you are your role, you are your title until you get another title. And it really wasn't until I left corporate and was out on my own where I'm like, no, I'm showing up as a 360 degree human. And that's how I choose to live my life. And I think more people need to embrace that and understand it. So bravo.
Yeah.
Life Peels. It's good. Okay. So what inspires you?
Progress. Okay. Progress inspires me. I honestly can say out of all the different things I've achieved on a personal level, it's the progress that I get to experience along the way that I get the most joy from. The end reward is always nice, but it's the journey that I have learned to fall in love with. Mm-hmm. But I get even more joy, more satisfaction, and more thrill from seeing other people have that interference removed and realize
yeah.
I could be thinking totally different. I could be feeling different tomorrow about life, what I have, what I'm grateful for, and start to see opportunities unfold that were around them all the time and make these quantum leaps in their own life. And so in doing the coaching work that I do, I get to see that almost every day.
Yeah.
And that's worth more than any paycheck or any, trophy reward or anything else.
I love it. And what would you like your legacy to be?
that I dared to grow my soul every single day.
Ooh, good one. Love that. I get a different answer every time I ask. So I love that. And you are well on your way, my friend. What is next for Sandy?
Just continuing to evolve and develop the tools that we've created to help companies. I really do believe growth for the individual, growth for companies, it should be simple. It should be easy. Not that there isn't a lot of work to do, but if that work is hard, you're doing it wrong. So I'm on a mission to help people find the clarity needed so that they can find the joy in doing what needs to get done, so that they can experience life to its fullest. And companies can create these amazing ecosystems where people actually love the process of growing. They love the process of getting slightly uncomfortable because you're doing it with a purpose. So continuing to develop Life Peels. Our goal is to help 1 billion people by the year 2040. Mm. So there's a lot of work to do and a lot of joy.
Yeah, I can see the inspiration from David on that one. That's very much in line with him. Where can people find you?
The easiest place is at sandygolgart.com. It's sandegolgart.com. Or I'm the only Sandy Golgart on LinkedIn. So it's an easy place to find me and connect.
I love it. And it's S-A-N-D-E. Anyway, yeah. Sandy, I have loved having you on my show. This has been such a joy. Thank you for sharing your story with us. And guys, if you liked what you heard, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Leave a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple. Thank you for listening. Have a great day and take care of each other. Thanks for listening to this episode of Heartbeat for Hire. I hope you enjoyed what you heard. If you did, please subscribe to my YouTube channel or consider leaving a 5-star review and a great rating at Spotify or Apple. Thank you so much for your support. Have a great day.